Now, we appreciate, dear brethren, that you have set aside this Saturday evening, giving us the opportunity to be with the assembly here. And we would certainly say that you've done a good job inside of your hall. Certainly very commendable, nice and bright, commendable for the gospel that you represent. Trust the Lord will encourage you in it. If you will, we will turn, please, to the book of Exodus. When we first came to the city here, we stopped to notice a little concerning the veil of the tabernacle and of the temple, some of its beauties in relation to our beloved Lord. This being our last week, I would like to look a little tonight at the breastplate of the high priest. And I trust that it will be indeed an encouragement to our hearts and instruction as well, whereby we may indeed become increasingly worshippers of our blessed God. We will read, please, from verse 1 of Exodus chapter 28. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, if I may use the statement, which I'm afraid some people think I may use a little often, but if I may appeal to those who are young here tonight, it is instructive for you to notice that when God is speaking of the tabernacle, he is speaking of himself being conveyed to the people. He is coming out to the people. Now will you notice concerning the great high priest, or rather the high priest that is mentioned here, it is ministering unto God, it's going into God. And so as you link the two together, we have very precious truth that is developed for us in the New Testament, but never forget that priesthood is primarily towards God. That is an amazing and a sanctifying factor relative to the work of our Lord Jesus and likewise that of the priesthood of believers. Verse 2 reads, And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate. That's as far as we'll read in that verse, because that is what I would like to try and notice a little this evening. Verse 9, And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold, and two chains of pure gold at the ends. Of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twine linen shalt thou make it. Foursquare it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper.
They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Verse 28.
And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod, with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. I trust that the reading of the passage will be both a joy and an exercise to our heart tonight. We speak of our Lord Jesus scripturally in the New Testament as our great high priest. That is an amazing factor, for we realize that the high priests of old, there were two things concerning them that we find is not found in the Lord Jesus, which gives to him the uniqueness of being the great high priest. Priesthood, as we realize, as we have noted in this passage, is a coming near to the presence of God. Priesthood, beautiful picture. Interestingly, if you were to study your Bible, which I know you do, but I say that you would find in that study that it's of interest to notice the characteristic of the occupation of the priest, the high priest of Israel. Interestingly, with dear Aaron, you have a kinship with the people that is unique. When you come to Eleazar, we find that the high priesthood of Eleazar is linked with the land, and particularly with the distribution of the inheritance in the land. And you will find by genealogy that there would be 80 courses of high priest until you come to Caiaphas. And at the last, we find our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and he stands unique in the fulfillment of the priesthood that is seen in dear Aaron. He stands unique in two ways. The first way, of course, that has to do with dear Aaron is that the priesthood, the high priesthood of the Old Testament was inherited. But the priesthood of our Lord Jesus is not inherited. That stands in uniqueness. And the one beloved who represents us in the presence of our God tonight, he stands in the uniqueness of an uninherited priesthood. And a priesthood that will know no successor. No succession of that priesthood, for he shall never die. Beloved, I trust that that thought in opening will help us to see a little of the value of our Lord Jesus Christ having gone inside, our great high priest, no successor. There were several things, and I'm just giving this to you for your study tonight, because as you well know, my dear brother and I, we never get quite enough time. That's not your fault, that's ours. And we admit it to each other, and sometimes we have to laugh about it a little, although maybe we should do more weeping than laughing, but nevertheless, we find that difficulty, so I will have to, some things that I may say to you tonight, I hope will be provoking to your thinking and for your study. But it is very interesting to notice that with the high priests, as you will notice relative to dear Aaron, beginning with dear Aaron, there are characteristics of that priesthood which our Lord Jesus fulfilled in his person and never required any of the accoutrements, never required any of the various elements that would give to the high priest of the Old Testament that which was necessary for acceptance in the presence of our Father. The presence of God. And so the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, let me note with you, in being unique, it gives to us the understanding, the absolute necessity of the high priest in heaven, the great high priest. We require the uniqueness
of the Lord Jesus in that priesthood for all the element of our need that is linked with frailty as the high priesthood, the great high priest in his work before the Father is occupied. For again, may I say for you who are younger, the Lord Jesus is mentioned as the high priest. He is mentioned as the intercessor, and he's mentioned as the advocate. As advocate, it has to do with failure. As our intercessor, you will notice that it has to do with frailty. But when it comes to the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has to do with infirmities. And as we notice with the connection with the priesthood that is mentioned here, the infirmities of his people, the sympathizer, that's what is seen particularly in dear Aaron, for he knew what it was to suffer where his people suffered. As they were in the fields of Egypt, so also was Aaron, the sympathizing high priest. One difference that I would make, again, I say provokingly, I hope, to note that in, when you come to the Epistle to the Hebrews, the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, has gone into the holiest of all. Now, when Aaron came out of the holiest of all, he came out to bless the people. But the order of Aaron continued. But beloved, our great high priest has gone into the holiest of all. And when he comes out, he will come out in the order of Melchizedek. With great blessing, in the day of glory, the order of the priesthood of Aaron has been accomplished. It is finished. The Lord Jesus is not occupied in the order of Aaron, because the sacrifice for sin has been offered once for all. The great truth of the burnt offering and all the offerings have been accomplished in his cross work and in his great and glorious person. But he has gone in as Aaron, and all that Aaron wore, all that Aaron represented, the mitre, the golden plate, the beautiful ephod, the curious girdle, the white linen garments, and the breastplate upon his heart, in what I would like to look at a little with you tonight, the Lord Jesus, as he bears upon his heart the names of his people engraven in precious stones. Will you just ponder it for a moment, brethren, if I may underline it a little to notice the preciousness of the value of what these stones will represent? For all of them represent glories that are found in the Lord Jesus, and engraven upon those stones the permanence of their name, never to be erased, not written upon ice, not carved into a rock, but engraved in a precious stone. And the very engraving of those names, it helped to magnify the beauty of the stone, and the stone magnified, gave rather, attributed beauty to the name. And so while those names upon those beautiful stones, upon the breastplate of the high priest, while it complimented him, he gave honor to them. Can you see the priest as he moves in the holy place? And the lampstand is there with the little flickering lights, the seven of them from the six branches and the lampstand in that tabernacle. Can you see the light as it flickers amongst the beauty of those stones? All adding honor to the names that are written upon those stones. Our dear brethren and sisters, as we look heavenward in prayer tonight, let us ever remember there is one in heaven who bears us upon his breast before the Father, and all the glory of his eternal person, all the magnitude and the greatness, the magnificence of his triumphant person glorified in heaven, he gives to us acceptance. Yea, he gives to us beauty. He gives to us all the security of what these stones portray concerning his own blessed person as we are accepted in the presence of the Father. The necessity of the high priest is found in his uniqueness as our Lord Jesus moves in the presence of God. Now it is necessary first to note the two shoulder pads that we read of, the two onyx stones that are upon the shoulders of the high priest.
that are mentioned here, and I trust that this will be a help to those who are young in the faith here tonight, inexperienced perhaps in your Christian pathway. Can I note with you, I hope you observed, and as we would note in reading other passages, the order of the names upon these two plates, upon the shoulders of the high priest, is not the same order that is found that are engraven upon the 12 stones upon his breast. Let me note with you the thought of the names upon that are upon these two onyx stones. As you will probably be aware, the onyx stone is spoken of as the white stone, and yet it has black in it, and yet it is white. It's a beautiful combination. I love to think of it. I do not know what my beloved brethren may appreciate in it, but I'll tell you there's one thing that gives joy to my soul, and that is to know that my name is engraven upon that stone. It shines forth in all its purity in the presence of God, and yet there is linked with it that which is the black. That's, can I mention to you and say I trust for your joy tonight, dear younger one in the faith, that which links us with that which was by nature darkness and black, in the presence of God it is not seen. In the presence of God it is the white stone, and it's the shining white that is mentioned relative to the name of the onyx stone, and engraven on those two shoulder plates, by birth, beginning with the firstborn, and going down to Benjamin, the last of the 12, we find their names are engraven. And can you note the difference between the way the name of Israel is mentioned relative to the shoulder stones and the breastplate? When God speaks of these two shoulder plates, he says, the children of Israel. That's their birthright. Their names are written by birth. And beloved, the security of our acceptance in the presence of a holy God, it's all dependent upon the shoulders of the high priest. And our names are engraved in that beautiful stone. And wherever that priest moved, within the precincts of that holy place, wherever he moved, he always bore. In the place of strength, he bore those who are born into the family. Sons of God, children of God, by birth, their names are inscribed, engraved upon the stones, and he holds them in all the inexhaustible strength of his eternal glory and power. Ah, brethren, the security of the believer is found, manifested in the great high priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me note with you those names upon those shoulders, engraven upon two stones. Both stones are the same. The names are all engraven permanently. But there's one thing I would like you to notice about the breastplate and those two shoulder plates. God shows at least seven different ways that both of them are secured to the priest himself and to his garments. There's no possibility that this plate will ever fall or will ever shift. It is always the same. It's secured to the robe of the ephod. It's linked with the breastplate and secured to it. I'm going to mention to you seven ways that the breastplate and those shoulder plates are secure. Dear brethren, if there's one thing that the devil would desire to attack in your experience and mine, it is to sow doubts into our mind as to the security of our way and our pathway, as well as our standing before God. We do not stand upon the merits of how we act. We do not stand upon the merits of what we intend to do. We do not stand in the merits of our earnestness. We stand upon the shoulders of the great high priest, engraven in onyx stone. My name is engraven there upon the shoulder of the great high priest. Ah, the security of it. Let me mention the seven things just for your own study and enjoyment, which indeed have been a cheer to my own soul. Many a time the devil comes to God's people when they are in infirmities, and they're lying upon a sick bed. And we were visiting just the other day, even a dear soul, and she told us that she never realized how the devil could be so subtle and so persistent until she became ill. And then you see that there's a real devil who hates you, and he hates your God, and he hates the honor of our blessed Lord Jesus. And if he can sow a doubt into our mind, he will. But here is the security. The plates can never move. They're linked with the breastplate. They're linked with the robe of the ephod. And they're engraved with the engravings of a signet. Now, may I add as well, if you will look up that word signet, it does not just mean that they are engraven as an A and a B and a C, but it means that they're written with the beauty of a scroll. Ah, there's a beauty linked with those names that God gives to it. He delights in seeing your name there. He delights in seeing my name there, and that's humbling to my heart. I know that within me there is nothing that could by nature delight him, but in Christ he finds me delightful to his holy eye. He finds me, and he finds you, beloved, irrespective of your age or experience or lack of it. Upon his shoulders, your name is engraved as of a signet. What beautiful name before the Father, born in the shoulders of our beloved great high priest. The first thing of security that I have noticed here, excuse me, is that the fact of them being engraven. The second is that they are linked with the girdle. That speaks of the ceaseless service of our beloved Lord. They're linked with chains of gold. They're linked with rings of gold. They're not just sewn with a cloth. Gold rings. The eternal everlasting righteousness of our beloved Lord. That's what keeps us in security. Because of who he is. Because of what he is in his nature. The chains of gold. The rings of gold. And there as well, we find that there's the settings of gold, and there's the ouches of gold, and there's a blue lace that links them all together in security. From the bottom, if you will notice the wording, at the bottom they are held. At the sides they are held. At the top they are held. And then they are laced with a blue ribbon right through that breastplate that links it to his person. Ah, the marvel of it. Beloved saints of God, these seven things, every one of them, are linked with the Lord Jesus in a feature of his eternal character. So there's no possibility that we could ever fail or ever be lost. That's the reason that you will find when you come to the Epistle to the Hebrews concerning our high priest in heaven, one of the names that's linked with that blessed man as he wears the beautiful robes and bears upon his bosom those names, and upon his shoulders he's called Jesus, the Son of God. And the Son of God marks every one of those characteristics of security. So in all the strength of his eternal being. And you know that title, the Son of God, may I say for those of you who are younger and studying the Epistle to the Hebrews, in the Epistle to the Hebrews you will find that that title, Son of God, is necessary to every office our Lord Jesus fills. It is necessary to every feature and virtue that is necessary to fill those offices. He must be eternally the Son of God. Oh, the fullness, the sufficiency of his glorious person. Brethren, well may we rejoice tonight. May God graciously bow our hearts with grateful thanksgiving that there is a man in heaven, and he bears our name engraved beautifully upon two onyx stones upon his shoulders before God. Notice in relation to the breastplate. The breastplate, as we read, is one with the ephod, and it has the same colors in it. How beautiful are those colors? We noticed them in connection with the veil, so we will not repeat that tonight. But it links with the blessed person of Christ Jesus as a man. Amazing beauty that is displayed in his manhood and in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find security as also in his eternal deity. In connection with the breastplate, can I note with you that being upon his breast, there are three statements that are made about it. It says he bears them upon his breast. That word for bears means it rests there. Ah, brethren, will you take a look at that little breastplate upon which your name is graven? Beautiful stone that complements your name. Beauty that's found in the Lord Jesus, as I trust to note in a moment. But God says it rests upon his bosom. Ah, brethren, it ought to touch us in an hour of grief. It ought to be a strength to us in a moment when we're accosted with trial and temptation, to be able to know that there is a man constantly, ceaselessly, wearilessly, he bears my name upon his bosom. I rest upon the bosom of the man in glory. And forever and ever he shall bear us before God in all the blessedness, again with the beauty of a name being engraven. We look upon ourselves, rightly so very often, dear brethren and sisters, we judge ourselves because of the weakness of the flesh within us. But never forget, the high priest is not dealing with the weakness of the flesh. That's the advocate. He's dealing with infirmities. It's the capacity for infirmity. It's Aaron as he was in Egypt. Now he is before God. Brethren, our Lord Jesus knew the character of infirmities that we know. He knew what it was to suffer physically. He knew what it was to suffer mentally. He knew what it was to suffer spiritually. He knew the truth of bereavement. He knew the tears of pain, grief, grief over unbelief. He knew grief over having loved ones that didn't believe in him and rejected him. All the character of grief that beloved saints of God may know, whether they lie upon a bed or whether they are alone in their room, he knew loneliness. Our Aaron was in Egypt, but tonight he's before the throne and lying upon his bosom. The man who knew what it was to weep, the man who knew what it was to groan, and he sees a mother groan over a lost son, he groaned over them too. He sees a father upon his knees, praying out his heart to God until the tears will not come anymore. He knew the very same thing. Psalm 22 tells us, he wept until there were no more tears to come. The broken-hearted, blessed Savior, he buries us upon his breast. The second statement that is made concerning that breastplate is that he bears the judgment of his people. Now, the judgment of his people is not the idea of their condemnation that is in view. It is that he bears them so there is no condemnation. He bears them before God in all the beauty of absolute acceptance continually, without change in value and without any change in acceptance, in all the beauty of the stone and all the beauty of the effort. Beautiful garments, beautiful study, my dear brethren, to look upon our Lord Jesus Christ as we see him in the virtues of his blessed person and in all the virtues of his occupation for us in heaven. The third thing that's mentioned about that breastplate is that it is fastened to his person. It says that you will find, I believe it's three times, I cannot quote the verses to you now, but I believe it's three times that it mentions it is fastened. It doesn't use the word fastened. It uses the word that has to do with as if it was almost bound to him. It was bound, it was fastened to his person. It didn't wobble when he had to move. No, it was never shaken. Those stones never were in danger of coming loose. They were bound to his person.
Ah, my blessed Lord in heaven tonight, I'm bound to his bosom. He bears me upon his heart. He bears me as Israel in judgment before the Lord. And I'm bound. The fourth thing that God mentions concerning that beautiful breastplate is that it is upon his heart. Isn't it interesting that God doesn't say that it's upon his breast? That is, that it just lies upon the outward breast of the high priest. It's upon his heart. Ah, God is looking at the great fulfillment of his heart's desire. My dear brother and sister, in weakness, it may be in the weakness of age, God's people become discouraged. And they will often say to themselves, well, I'm past my day of usefulness. Well, that may be, brother or sister, as far as your physical abilities may appear to be. But can I say, you have absolutely the same place on the heart of the Lord Jesus that you had in the fullness of the vigor of your youth. It's not age that secures the stone to the breast and the heart of the high priest. It's not age. Age never touched those stones. It isn't a question of time. It's a question of the virtues of the blessed person who represents our great high priest. Now I'm going to very quickly try to note with you these 12 stones, and I hope my dear brother will not be afraid when I say that, because I'm going to be very, very brief with each one of them. But I want you to notice the glory of the Lord Jesus that is displayed in each of these 12 stones. And your name and mine, dear beloved, I hope it will be a help to your soul tonight and cause you in view of the Lord's day to bow by your bedside tonight and praise him for the virtues that are found in his person. Remember, you're bound to him. You're upon his heart. Yes, he bears you in the judgment of his presence before the Father. And as well, you are found engraved upon these beautiful stones with a beautiful writing. My, let the old devil go to the wind. You can just say to him like one dear man said, there it is, devil, read it for yourself. And that's exactly what we need to do when the old enemy comes to put doubts into your mind or into your heart by any fashion and by experiences of grief to seek to bombard you with the awful doubts of fear. I gaze upon the man in glory as we were singing tonight, and I see that beautiful breastplate on which my name is written. The first one that's mentioned, and can I mention to you that the order of the names here begins with Judah. Is that not the order of the names that are found about the tabernacle? Dear Mr. Newberry seemed to think that these stones upon the breastplate were from left to right, of course, across the top, down each side, and one across the bottom, the very same order in which they are found on the tabernacle. That I do not know, and I'm not here to determine whether they were these rows like this, because where we read tonight, we read that they were three in a row, four rows. Whether that means two rows this way and two rows this way, or whether it means four rows this way, I do not know. But one thing I know, my name is there. And so is yours, beloved, upon his breast tonight, upon his heart. Let me note the first one with you is Judah. And the stone that is mentioned there is the Sardis stone, the ruby stone. The name of that stone is the bloodstone or the wine stone. What beautiful truth. The bloodstone, our minds need not ponder the great truth of the virtues of that precious blood. And beloved, throughout all eternity, we shall forever be in the value and the virtue of that precious blood, that beautiful ruby stone that is found upon the breast of our Lord Jesus Christ, pictured here in the picture of Judah's stone. Judah means praise, and as we notice in connection with Judah, at least seven times you're going to find Judah is the tribe in preeminence. And written upon that stone is the name of a man, had failure in his life, but he had acceptance with God. And beloved, that's where we stand today. It isn't now the evaluation of our life
That would be well to look at in another evening if we had occasion at the judgment seat of Christ. But tonight, it's upon the breast of the high priest. Dear Judah, his name means praise, and he is enthroned in preeminence, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the ruby, blood-red stone. And it has been reported, of course, that a true ruby, that is a pure ruby, is the highest priced stone that can be purchased. The second one that's mentioned is the topaz, and its color is the sunlight yellow. Its name is Issachar, whose name means reward. But I cannot help but think of that passage in Malachi chapter 4. The Son of Righteousness shall appear with healing in his wings. And beloved, that beautiful yellow stone, and yellow as the sunlight. That is, it isn't just yellow. It's that brilliant yellow. It's that shining yellow. And that's your name and mine is found engraved upon that virtue of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, the securer of the inheritance. That's what Malachi 4 represents. Our Lord Jesus coming. For what purpose in Malachi 4? To secure the land for his people. And beloved, that's exactly what our Lord Jesus represents for us in heaven. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we find that in him there is inheritance in glory reserved in heaven for you. By whom, beloved? The sunlight yellow stone, beautiful topaz, marvelous. Our inheritance in glory is secure. Never let the devil get you so occupied with earthly inheritance, you lose sight of the yellow stone. Sunlight yellow in all its beauty, and our name is engraven there. The third stone that's mentioned is the carbuncle. It's a fiery purple and a red stone, if you have seen one. If you would take time to go to a museum, you dear younger folk, take time to go to a museum and take your paper and pencil with you. Look up these stones. They're beautiful to look at. They're portraying virtues in the Lord Jesus. Find them. Look at them. It will help to enhance in your mind's appreciation. And I trust will provoke even deeper the spirit of worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zebulun is written upon that stone. The name of the carbuncle, the name carbuncle itself, means a burning coal. There you can see the color. That burning red coal, almost going to become white. That purple, red, burning coal. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is called, this stone rather, is called the gem of the poor. And interestingly, Zebulun is called the poor man's tribe. Does that not speak of the humility and the lowliness of the Lord Jesus in all its beauty to which he gave nobility? Our blessed Lord, as he moved in his poverty, beloved, he gave nobility to poverty. I love to think of it. Never performing a miracle to meet his need when he was hungry or thirsty or weary. Always serving others. Humility, lowliness of spirit, and all the nobility that he gave to it. That's the gem of the poor. Ah, how precious. Beloved, I'm glad to be linked with that stone. I'd like to be like him, humble and lowly. Portray the beautiful burning coal of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name. That's that spirit, that element, that virtue found in his glorious person will never fade as a burning coal would fade. It will never die out. It will forever be in the brilliance of a true and perfect humility. Beautiful man of Calvary. God, help us to see its beauty increasingly, and remember my name is engraven there. We are honored, brethren, honored to be upon his breast, written upon the carbuncle. Notice the emerald that is mentioned. The emerald is the grass green color of a stone, the rarest of all gems, it is claimed. And it has also been claimed by those who have look for these stones, and it is very, very rare to find a pure emerald stone without a little flaw, without a mark, But there is one,
very expensive, hidden behind lock and key, guarded by men 24 hours a day, a beautiful emerald. But my dear brother, there's an emerald in heaven. He needs no one to guard him. In all the beauty of his humanity, for no doubt of that's exactly what the emerald would speak of. It's spoken of as the grass stone, the green stone. It links it with his humanity, the earthly nature of our Lord, a character of our Lord Jesus in his sinless humanity. There was no flaw in him. Every other emerald may have a flaw, but there is one in heaven that has no flaw. And brethren, that beautiful man who honored God always, giving to him perfect obedience in the beauty of absolute meekness. Beautiful humanity, a pure emerald, and your name and mine is engraven there. Ah, the beauty of it, brethren. In all the imperfections of our humanity, there is one who represents us, and we are upon the heart of that man, and the beauty of that green, as it glitters in the light of the lampstand, as truth unveils the beauty of his humanity. And of course, that high priest did not bear that into the holy of all, but our high priest does. And it glitters, brethren, all his virtues are found in the light of an unfading light in heaven, in the presence of deity. The beauty of the stones can only be seen as the light is reflected. Presence of deity. The beauty of the stones can only be seen as the light is reflected through them, and the rays of it will shine up and magnify the beauty of its color. Ah, brethren, he gives to us honor. May our hearts be bowed tonight. We have a great high priest. He loves us dearly, and he represents us in all his beauty. Now, I promised my brother to be quick, so I'll tell you the others and stop. Immediately, the sapphire stone is linked with Simeon. It's the velvety blue stone. Rather rare, I am told, but it's linked in Exodus 24 with pavement under the feet of God. Beautiful color, linked with the throne eternal. That throne which links us with the sovereignty of our beloved Lord, the Son of God from heaven, in all its beauty of the pure blue color. The diamond is Gad, the rock crystal. That rock that is mentioned for its tenacity and its adamant character, its strength of character, used for cutting of the hardest of materials, the strength of our beloved Lord, the purity, clear as crystal. There is the beautiful diamond, and all the beauties of its light as it is cut into its various segments. You know how the diamond ring reflects the beauty of color of the rainbow as it comes from that beautiful stone. Wonderful virtue of our beloved Lord, as it is mentioned even in the 5th chapter of the book of the Revelation. We have the ligure. Ephraim is written upon that stone. His name means fruitful. It's a purple stone. And it's mentioned that the red and the blue and the white are the three colors. A white, not clear like a diamond, but a white shaft and a red shaft and a blue shaft will be seen from that ligure as it's turned under a light. Ah, what beauty is in our Lord. Rather than those colors which speak so much of his eternal virtues as the man glorified in heaven and the beauty that magnifies the name of those who are born upon his heart. The agate is Manasseh, and his name means forgetting. We remember that, forgetting the sorrows. And the agate, it has, apparently the thing that I noted here on my note is that its strength is stronger than steel, but it has many forms and colors, like stars, and like eyes, that penetrate. It's a penetrating gleam that comes from this stone. And I couldn't find one of these in the museum when I was looking for them on one occasion. I couldn't find one of these. Maybe it was my fault, but I did read a little piece about them. They used them sometimes for penetrating like light would be used through a magnifying glass. They would use this stone for that very purpose. The reflection of light with power as it would penetrate. Beautiful picture of the loveliness of the eternal character of the Lord Jesus, as you will find him in Revelation chapter 1, as his eyes would be as the agate and the light that shines forth from them, piercing the hearts of men. The amethyst is Benjamin, the son of the right hand. Violet is its color, called the gem of the soldier, the last color in the rainbow. Ah, what a beauty of the Lord Jesus, the victorious one, as the purple speaks of the majesty and the dignity of his triumph. The chrysolite is Dan. His name means the judge. It's gold. It's the beryl color that is found, which speaks of the victorious person of our Lord Jesus, glorified in heaven. And the sardonyx is Asher. His name means happy. And this color, interestingly, is the color of flesh and blood mingled together. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, in all the greatness of the trueness of his manhood and of his flesh, the Blessed One who went to Calvary in my place. My name is written there. And finally, we have the jasper stone, which is Naphtali, whose name means wrestlings. And if you'll notice the names of each of these tribes, each of them have to do with an experience of life. And each name representing experience, we find there is one who bears this on his heart in heaven, whatever the experience may be. And this last one is a time of wrestling. It's as clear as crystal, which speaks, as we notice in Revelation 5 and verse 1, of the eternal sovereignty of our divine Lord. Brethren, may God graciously lift our eye tonight. I know that it is not fair actually to take up such a precious subject in such a short span of time, but being my last occasion here in Vancouver, I did want to leave with you one last glimpse of the Lord Jesus. God graciously lift your eye tonight. Look to the bosom of the man in glory and be able to say, my name is written there in the beauties of his person. We are born before the Father, on his shoulders security, on his bosom affection, forever and forever.